Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. It's 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday morning, February 2nd, 2021. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM across the state line in Durango, Colorado, and of course streaming everywhere from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page and our Twitter account, and shortly it'll be available on our YouTube channel. So we're glad that you are with us however you found your way to us this morning, because coming up in the next few moments, a great conversation with my guest Pip Howard about the First Born program of Northwest New Mexico. It's part of KSJE's monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council. So stay tuned for some good information about how kids in the area are being helped through this program, the Firstborn Program of Northwest New Mexico. And then, of course, later on this hour, we'll check in with Amber Francisco from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter at 8:50 a.m. this morning. She'll be telling us about some of the pets available for adoption this week, so stay tuned for that coming up later on this hour. And then next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts at 9:06. You can hear that on the radio, of course, and on our website. Mick is playing more Bach cantatas. He has been playing all of them from the very beginning, from number one all the way up to today's Bach cantata number 198. That's coming up today at 9:06 on Roving with the Arts. In addition, of course, to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we invite you to connect with us on Instagram as well. And let's talk about the weather forecast. A mild morning from what we've been experiencing. Partly cloudy skies outside this morning, 39 degrees in Farmington at the moment. And we're on our way to a partly sunny day today with a high of 54 this afternoon. How about that, Mr. Groundhog? Partly cloudy skies overnight tonight with a low of 35 degrees, but then get ready for a big change in the weather with a chance of rain and snow showers tomorrow. But mild weather, the high 58 on Wednesday. Snow showers overnight, the low 32. More chances for rain or snow on Thursday with a high of 41 and a low of 22 before things dry out and brighten up with mostly sunny skies for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And highs each day in the mid to upper 40s and overnight lows in the mid to upper 20s. With that being said, let me turn to my guest who is joining me this morning remotely. It's Pip Howard who is here. She is with the Northwest New Mexico First Born Program, as I mentioned. And Pip, good morning. It's good to see you. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. Thank you for being with us. As I mentioned, this is part of our commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, of which Firstborn is a member. And you are the childbirth education specialist for Firstborn, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So let's start by maybe talking about what Firstborn is for folks who maybe aren't familiar with the program, and then we can kind of talk a little bit about some of the classes that you are offering through Firstborn.
Yes, yeah, so Firstborn, there's a lot of Firstborn programs throughout the state of New Mexico, but we are specifically Northwest New Mexico Firstborn, so we're very local to here. We have offices in Farmington, in Gallup, and in Zuni. So we cover San Juan and McKinley County, and we provide, quote, home visiting services. And I'm going to say in quotes because right now, we're not actually going into people's homes.
Right.
We're
That's just
meeting people virtually.
understood. And but in normal years, you would be visiting people's homes and doing some of that face-to-face home visiting, but right now you're doing it remotely.
Yeah, I mean, in normal times, we meet the families wherever they choose to meet. Some people choose to have us come to their homes. Some people choose to meet us at McDonald's or in the park or, close to their place of work. So there are many locations where we meet people because we want families to be comfortable. We want to provide a service to families. We don't want to impose anything on families.
Right. And part of the mission of the program is to really help these families during these the whole childbirth, I guess, experience, right? The whole period, right? From before the child is born to after the child is born.
Yes, anybody who is having, who is going to be raising a child for the first time. So, someone who's pregnant with their first child, or we actually have added in if it has been 10 years since their last child was born, so it's kind of like starting over. Anybody who is adopting a first baby, or for any reason, someone who's raising a family for the first time is eligible. There's no residency requirements. You don't have to prove that you're living here legally. So we provide services to anybody who wishes. And we do, talking about whether somebody is here legally, we want to provide the best outcomes for all families. And we do have Spanish speaking people on staff also, so we can do that.
Right. And you were telling me earlier before we came on the air this morning, Pip Howard, that I think it's really important part of the Firstborn program that it's really local folks from these communities. You mentioned you have offices here in Farmington, in Gallup, and in Zuni, but it's not folks from Farmington who are driving to Gallup or Zuni or vice versa. These are folks from those communities who are visiting with these parents, whether it's remotely these days or in home or at McDonald's or wherever it might be when times resume some normalcy here.
Yes, and we do. We have a local office with we have home visitors here in Farmington who see people in the San Juan County area. We have home visitors in Gallup who see people in the Gallup area, and we have one home visitor in Zuni also, and she's actually also from Zuni. So because there's been research about how people respond better to people who look like them and
Right.
to people who they can really truly relate to. So we want to keep everything as local as possible while we may have a statewide program, we may go through education on a statewide basis, but in actual real time, you're meeting someone who may live down the street from you.
Right. Or you see in the grocery store every week or what have you. Exactly. And one other thing I want to ask you about the mission of the Firstborn program, encouraging families to build strong relationships. And maybe just talk to me a bit about that. Obviously, you want a strong relationship between a parent and child and vice versa, right? And this is kind of what we're talking about. And in some cases, they're not as maybe strong as they could be, these relationships.
Yeah, I mean, what we do is we strive to provide the very best education we can in terms that make sense to families. So all of our home visitors go through a pretty intense training, didactic training. So they have to learn and review a lot of materials. I mean, I could probably talk about some of the training for the whole time here because
Right.
there's a lot of information. And then Firstborn has a whole curriculum. So whether we're talking about week by week of pregnancy or week by week of the time after the baby comes, we can offer we try to offer families a weekly visit during the first year of life. Our goal is that they get seen, I think it's at least 40 times in the first year, which is a lot. But when things are changing so fast, especially at the very beginning of baby's life, because I've worked in this field for quite a while, and seeing the difficulties that sometimes families have when they're, you know, just adjusting, because it is a huge adjustment.
Sure.
To be raising a child, and especially in some difficult times like we're having now, and maybe we don't have grandma being available so much. Families are a little more separated than they would normally be. So having that person that you can check in on a weekly basis, because you don't even generally see your doctor that often after the baby comes. Unless, the, you know, unless there's a problem and the doctor's asked you to come in more often. But this gives you an extra person who is educated, who's not pro this or anti this, but is there as a support, as a resource. And the firstborn curriculum is literally week by week during pregnancy and week by week during the first year of life. So we can provide a lot of really great information to families.
Very true. And I'm not going to even admit how many years you and I have been talking about children and childbirth and healthy pregnancies.
It's been a while, yes.
Together. So we'll just leave it at that. But you mentioned the curriculum, and that's another thing I wanted to ask you a bit about, too, because that's kind of got some data behind it. It is best practices. And I know, as you mentioned, firstborn is all over the country, all over the globe. And so a lot of this stuff has really been tested and has been shown to really work and improve those relationships, those outcomes for these new babies, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first firstborn program in New Mexico was in Silver City quite a few years ago. And then it developed from there. And I can't tell you how many programs there are
right.
in the state, but I know really it's a program that is constantly growing. And I mean, in other countries in the world, it is considered absolutely normal and necessary that families have ongoing support when they first go home with their baby, because the time in the hospital is so short. You're there for maybe a day or two, and you barely have time to turn around because there's something happening every minute. And then you go home, and a lot of families are like, what do I do if this, or what do I do if that? And this gives them an extra person they can reach out to who has a lot of education, who can give them unbiased support and unbiased information
right.
to help them, whether they're talking about just normal child development, parenting styles, what to expect. I mean, if someone goes home and expects that their baby's going to, you know, they're just going to get a good night's sleep, they're going to put the baby over there in that other room, we're like, no, your baby was getting fed intrauterinely every, you know, constantly. So your baby needs not only feeding, but the baby experienced constant contact with the mom. So
right.
going home to expect that baby's going to need ongoing contact with the mom. I mean, obviously with the, any other, you know, the other parent too, but, you know, and we have topics on health and safety and nutrition. We also, you know, I mentioned earlier that we normally do home visits, but firstborn is also providing care packages for families as needed, whether it be diapers or assistance with food. And I know during the in the fall and then again at Christmas, we did provide really nice care packages to all of the families involved in our program.
Very good. And these services, we should mention, are free to your families, correct? They are provided at no cost.
They are provided absolutely at no cost. And you don't have to show, unlike many programs, you don't have to show financial need. Our goal is that all families receive support. Because whether you're, you know, whether you have finances, you may still need knowledge. And you may still need someone to say, this is okay. You're doing great. We don't push a program on anybody. We're not a faith-based organization. We're here to provide a service to anybody, regardless of where they're from, who they are, and to meet the parent where they're at and provide them resources rather than dictating this is how you will behave or this is what you have to do.
Right. And we're talking this morning, Pip Howard, just in the early first days of February, you've got some education classes, childbirth education classes in the month of February that folks can take advantage of?
Yeah, I'm teaching childbirth classes. I've been teaching childbirth classes for a number of years now, and these have transitioned into a virtual format. It's a series of six classes, so I cover everything from late pregnancy to baby care and breastfeeding, and, you know, in the middle, obviously, the process of labor. I mean, quite a lot of the class is focused on the process of labor. But it also includes information about postpartum, and I continue to be available to any of the class participants after the baby is born. So really the best way to reach me is to call me, and this is my cell phone number, 505-486-0120, or I am also available via email at pip@northwestnewmexicofirstborn.org. So pip@nwnmfirstborn.org. And these classes are also free. They're primarily designed for people in this local area, but because they're virtual, even in my very first class, I had someone from Santa Fe, I've had people from Albuquerque, and in this next class, I have people enrolling from Phoenix.
Wow.
Because we were contacted by a public health nurse in Phoenix saying, can anybody come to your class? And we're like, well, as long as we provide the service first to our families who are right here, to those people who are enrolled in our firstborn program. And so sometimes the original concept actually was that people who were enrolled in the program would take the classes.
Right.
It's
sure.
Kind of morphed a little bit in that sometimes people are enrolling in the classes and then learning about firstborn. So we've had this kind of two-way street where we've been going both ways, because we do have people enrolled in our program. And if they do live somewhere else and they're not already enrolled in a home visiting program or any kind, we provide contact with other home visiting programs local to them. So we've had people enroll in programs. We had a woman who came to class, a family who came to classes recently, and we found a great match for her in Albuquerque. So there's a lot of outreach involved in this, and getting all families the services that they desire.
Sure, right. And I would think...
But there is no obligation that they are enrolled in our program. The classes are standalone.
Understood. But if they do, more than all the better. And I guess, you know, because this is about firstborn, these young women or older women or what have you, if they're having their first child, may have a lot of these questions, right? And maybe they don't have someone in their families that they could ask or talk to, or maybe they don't feel comfortable talking to their mother or their grandmother or their aunt about some of these things that maybe they would have a question about that you could answer in some of these classes, or just as someone that they're not in contact or not part of their family, and they feel more comfortable talking to a stranger perhaps than maybe a relative. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, you know, we don't see babies being born. Most of us don't spend much time around the process of birth. Birth is in the hospital, and especially these days, we don't see it because we're not having lots of visitors in the hospital. So for families, it's something kind of almost mysterious. How does it work? What to expect? So the classes go over really what to expect during the process of labor, what you know, when you should be at home, when you should be in the hospital. But I do also have people who are choosing not to birth in the hospital who come to my classes. I do provide information about what kind of medical interventions someone should be aware of, whether they choose them or not, during the process of birth. And then, so I focus on kind of what to expect during the process of birth, as well as how to cope, because it is such a unique experience, the experience of giving birth. And, you know, everybody has very different ideas about it. But yeah, the classes are suitable whether someone is choosing a hospital birth, a birth center birth, a home birth, a more traditional form of birthing, or a very medical form of birthing. So, and I cover cesarean birth also because, you know, there is a fairly large number of women who do give birth by cesarean. So I want to make sure they are fully prepared and understand what is going to be happening. Because sometimes people will say, oh, I really didn't want to learn about that. And I'll say, well, it's important to know what it is. And it's important to know what to expect, so that you are educated on the process and the expectations.
Sure. And, you know, even with my limited knowledge, I would seem to understand, though, that if a cesarean birth is necessary, it's usually something that happens fairly quickly in the birthing process, a decision that's made fairly fast. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is.
In some cases.
If it's unplanned.
Right.
There are cases where a cesarean birth is necessary and planned in advance.
Understood. Pip Howard is my guest this morning. She is the childbirth education specialist with Northwest New Mexico First Born, and we're talking about some of the programs and childbirth programs that she is offering. These are free of charge, available to anyone because they are virtual. You don't have to drive to any classroom. You can do it from the safety of your own home these days. And so there's several programs and classes scheduled for February and some others, I imagine, throughout the year. And Pip Howard, there's another thing I wanted to ask you about, which is kind of a chance to bend your ear a bit, right? Some of these birth break conversations?
Yeah, this is something I just started. It's something I'd been hoping to start for the last few months of 2020. And it's just a 15-minute conversation that I have with different people. It's on Facebook. It's on Northwest New Mexico Firstborn Facebook page. And I have a 15-minute conversation with families who are pregnant, families who have already had their baby, with birth supporters of all kinds. So whether they be involved from, like my first guest was Monica Esparza, who's the deputy director of the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force. So we had a conversation 2 weeks ago. And then tomorrow at noon, it's going to be the first and third Wednesdays at noon, for just a 15-minute talk. Tomorrow I will be talking with our new home visitor we have in Zuni. So we're going to be talking about what it's like for her. She's very new to being a home visitor, but she is going to talk to me about that. So you can tune in on our Facebook page of Northwest New Mexico Firstborn to hear our conversation. And then I plan to talk to a lactation consultant, a doula. I'd like to talk to someone from WIC, possibly even a physician or two. So whether they're from the medical side of it or whether they're from the family side of it, I'm going to try and keep it fairly balanced and interview people statewide in Northwest New Mexico, in Zuni, Gallup, and in San Juan County.
Oh, great.
So it's going to have that local conversation, but I've just been wanting to do this for a while because I think it's good for people to be able to hear and to hear about what other, you know, our services, but also, you know, maybe things just to make them think a little bit.
Well, sure. And that's a great resource to have. And again, this is on the first and third Wednesdays at noon. So again, tomorrow is the first Wednesday of February. So you'll be doing one tomorrow, as you mentioned. And I would assume, Pip Howard, that after these are live or on or released on Facebook, they're also available to watch older episodes as well. Are they still up there or do you take them down?
Yes. I mean, our first one, I know we had a total of 9 people, I think, actually viewing it live at the time.
Sure.
And within a couple of days, we'd had closer to 200.
Right. So people can watch them at another time. If they're busy, like tomorrow at noon, they could watch it some other time.
Yeah. It's not, it is a Facebook Live event. So
right.
As with Facebook Live events, I think they live forever unless you take them down.
They probably do. Just like our interview this morning, Pip Howard, that will live on forever on Facebook. So there you go.
It was something I just wanted to do, just for outreach, just for another method of communicating with people, because we're so limited in our personal face-to-face communication. But I think it, you know, the essentially, I don't know if you'd want to call it a silver lining, but the difference in communication is that we have so much more virtual communication. And, you know, a few years ago, I think it would have been very different. We wouldn't have had this. So having Zoom, having, I'm not even sure which platform we're on, but there are so many different platforms
right.
That we can use to do this. I mean, just even having FaceTime or Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or all these different programs and apps on our phones that we can talk to people face to face that we would not have been able to. So it does, you know, in some ways, even though we have decreased in-person conversation and contact, we have increased virtual conversation and contact. So taking advantage of this and learning new technologies, I've had to do a lot of learning recently, which I seem to remember putting a quote somewhere saying, we stay young by constantly learning new things.
Very
and
true.
Being open to change. And this has certainly been a time of change.
That's very true. And we always say it here at San Juan College, lifelong learning opportunities. So it sounds like that's what's happening with you as well and all of us, really, these days for sure. Just a couple of minutes remaining together this morning, Pip Howard, and I wanted to ask you briefly about a task force that you're involved with that helps throughout our state, correct?
Yes, New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force is very active in promoting breastfeeding. And I've been involved with the task force. I think I first went to a conference of theirs in about 2009. And we do have an annual conference. It's at the beginning of March. And last year was very interesting because the day before the conference was the day that we got put into lockdown.
Oh my.
And so we switched our conference to virtual. So I think we had probably one of the very first virtual conferences that was not intended to be virtual.
Right.
We managed to contact everybody who was coming to the conference except for a few people who were already en route. And so we switched our conference from in-person to virtual really fast. And this year we're planning for a virtual conference. So we have Laurel Wilson. She's a well-known speaker on breastfeeding. She's going to be our keynote speaker. And it is on March, I think it's 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday anyway.
Okay.
And rather than having a full day conference, a full 2-day conference, we made it a shorter each day so that people don't get too much Zoom fatigue.
Makes sense.
But, we have an annual conference, and the Breastfeeding Task Force has been very instrumental in supporting hospitals around the state achieve the baby-friendly designation, which is all about helping families bond. And then we're also working on a breastfeeding friendly clinic initiative, which is something that we're doing here in New Mexico, whereas Baby Friendly is a worldwide designation. We're starting this breastfeeding friendly clinic initiative is starting here, and we're working on that at the moment.
Very good. Well, and looking at my calendar here, Pip Hour, looks like Wednesday, March 10th is maybe one of those dates for that conference.
Okay, so it must be the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Apologies
right.
for that.
That's
10th,
okay.
11th, and 12th.
Very good.
And that will be a virtual conference. And the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force has been incredibly instrumental in providing support for families for many years. But we've also evolved with the times, and we're constantly learning new things there and new ways to support families.
Very
Although
true.
With breastfeeding, the ideal is to have hands-on support. And I know that here San Juan Regional is offering hands-on support still.
Very true. Well, Pip Howard, I'm sorry to say we are out of time, but if you wouldn't mind just repeating ways to get in touch with the Firstborn Program of Northwest New Mexico. Again, as we mentioned earlier, you've got offices here in San Juan County, also in McKinley County, in Gallup, and at Zuni Pueblo.
So our office is downtown Farmington. The office phone number is 505-325-9187. And then my phone number is 505-486-0120. You would get through directly to me on that number. And then we can be reached by email. My email is pip@nwnmfirstborn.org, or there's a website, www.firstbornprogram.org, or someone can email admin@nwnmfirstborn.org. So there should be many ways to find us. And then there's also the Pueblo Zuni office in McKinley County. But whichever office somebody called, they could be referred to one of our other offices if it was appropriate.
Sure, exactly. And of course,
to
you're also
that local.
That's right. And of course, you're on Facebook and looks like Instagram as well. And folks, as you mentioned, can find your interviews on the Facebook page for Northwest New Mexico
yes.
Firstborn.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Pip Howard, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for the work that you do for children in New Mexico.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for inviting me to be on your program.
Of course. It's always a pleasure. Stay well. That's Pip Howard, everyone, with Northwest New Mexico Firstborn.
Okay, I have an extra visitor.
Oh, and look at that. Well, that was pretty well timed. She waited till the end of the show.
Yeah, he did, and he doesn't even usually do.
Okay. That's a first, Pip. Thank you very much.
Take
care.
A great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Pip Howard and friend from Northwest New Mexico Firstborn, my guest here on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.